The big question, do jobless benefits discourage the unemployed from finding work?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Right now, we're going to ask today's big question. Does getting an unemployment check make someone less likely to look for a job? Well, the Senate is expected to vote later today on the extension of unemployment benefits. Up to now, there haven't been enough votes to overcome a Republican filibuster. But they're going to try again today with a new Democratic senator from West Virginia being sworn in. Diane Lim Rogers is an economist with the Concord Coalition, a nonpartisan think tank, and she writes the blog economistmom.com. She's with us live from Northern Virginia. Good morning, Diane.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You got it. So before we get to the matter of the big question, there's the small matter. Is this extension measure going to pass?
Well, it sounds like it is. It sounds like they've convinced a couple of the Republican senators to come on board. So, yeah, I think it is going to pass today.
All right. So the debate has mostly been from fiscal conservatives asking about whether jobless benefits discourage the unemployed from getting jobs. They get a check. They don't have to go to work. What do you say?
I think that might be a legitimate argument to make if the economy were in much better shape than it is. I mean, the simple fact is there's just not enough jobs out there. The jobs aren't there to turn down. So I think the worry that benefits prevent people from looking is way overblown right now.
These extension benefits, the extending of unemployment benefits, have happened in the past, right, over and over and over again. Why did this one get such a look-through?
Oh, well, I think that this one, just because this recession has been very severe and we've had to spend a lot of money to help the recovery, and I think that some of the politicians are getting legitimately concerned about the level of deficit spending that's going on. The problem is that most of our deficit spending and the longer-term outlook has nothing to do with unemployment benefits. So I think it's just the level of the deficit has gotten so high that it's become a convenient thing to complain about when you really just don't like the idea of extending unemployment benefits.
And so how do we pay for this? I mean, if it's not going to be paid for, if that's the argument that we're not being able to pay for this, I mean, what's the best way to make this move?
Well, even though the Concord Coalition is for fiscal responsibility and we like small deficits or no deficits where possible, this is one area where I don't think it's necessary to actually pay for the benefits for this program because it's actually a very small amount of money. It's intended to be temporary. It is not what we're concerned about, and it would be much better to look for ways to pay for more permanent programs that we continue to deficit finance.
All right. Economist Diane Lim Rogers with the Concord Coalition, we thank you.
Thanks.
Just moments ago, we found out the settlement Goldman Sachs paid to federal regulators hit the investment bank's bottom line. Second quarter earnings tumbled 82%, but adjusted, it still beats Wall Street expectations. Let's do the numbers. European shares are down at the moment about 1%. Asian shares closed mostly higher today, except for the Nikkei. Wall Street yesterday, blue chips were up 0.5%. The Dow added 56 points to close at 10,154. Minutes ago, word from the Commerce Department that construction, home construction, fell by 5% in June to its lowest level since last October. But the department said building permits rose, and that's good news because that's a sign of future activity.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
Governor Charlie Crist kicks off a special session of the Florida legislature today. Lawmakers there are considering a constitutional amendment to ban drilling in state waters. Meanwhile, Kenneth Feinberg, he's the man overseeing BP's $20 billion compensation fund, is preparing rules on what makes claims legitimate. As reporter Jay Field tells us from Pensacola, Feinberg has some tough decisions to make.
Florida officials are studying the economic fallout from the spill, and late last month, Darrell Willis, the BP guy in the orange polo shirt who's on TV a lot, showed up to answer their questions. Mostly, though, he got a lecture.
We're very fortunate that we do not have oil on our beaches. Where we are not fortunate, as you know, is the media and the negativity.
Commissioner Mario DeGennaro pulled out an informal survey of more than 200 hotels and other businesses in the Florida Keys. He says bookings are way down. So do these businesses hurt by perception more than reality? have a right to some of that BP cash? Florida law, Kenneth Feinberg recently told the congressional committee, is clear.
If there's no physical damage to the beaches, and it's public perception, I venture to say that it is not compensable.
But Feinberg himself mentioned one possible solution in recent House testimony: cordon off a geographic area and compensate businesses there that say perception has damaged them. Feinberg, who oversaw the 9/11 fund, used a similar approach to pay victims for respiratory damage from the collapsing towers. But torts expert Marshall Schappo at Northwestern University Law School says the 9/11 model may not work.
Here you have a much more, I guess you could even literally say, fluid environment from a legal point of view, because you're talking about so many different categories of people, and it's not nearly as neatly defined as it was in the 9/11.
What about the restaurant 50 miles inland that says business is off because people won't order Gulf seafood, or the caterer that has less convention business than usual in Tampa Bay? Feinberg says the money is limited, and he's going to have to draw the line someplace. In Pensacola, Florida, I'm Jay Field for Marketplace.
And finally, David Arik lost his job as a Wall Street lawyer at the height of the financial crisis in 2008. After months of trying to find another job, he decided it was time to do something else. A new cupcake bakery that caters to men. Arik says the Butch Bakery avoids the standard cupcake fare that he says are too frilly. His cupcakes are macho, flavored like manly things. There's the Elvis with peanut butter, banana, and crushed bacon inside. One of his manly cakes has whiskey in it. There's even a cupcake that features beer. Arik says business has taken off, but oddly, most of his customers are women. Hey, like the music you hear on Marketplace Morning Report? Check it out. Even buy it through our website, marketplace.org. And you can follow me on Twitter, Chiatakis MMR. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.